This is Jay Sekulow. In the case of Miriam Ibrahim, the State Department now requiring DNA tests for the children.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I know the State Department has made statements about this. The White House has made statements. What I'm interested in is, has Secretary of Kerry personally spoken out about the plight of this wife of an American citizen and these children of an American citizen?
Well, I've spoken with Secretary Kerry about this issue. It is one he is as concerned as others, not only in our administration, but others who have spoken out around the world. And we have spoken out very strongly here about our concerns about this specific case. I do have an update for all of you on this particular case. We do have a Privacy Act waiver for Mr. Wani at this time, who I can confirm is a U.S. citizen, as has been reported. We have been engaged with him since June of 2013, so for the last year, and we've been in regular contact with him throughout the trial. Embassy officials most recently met with him on June 2nd.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Now that we publicly know that he's a U.S. citizen, these children, this one-week-old little girl and this 20-month-old boy, these are the children of a U.S. citizen that's being held by the government of Sudan.
Well, without commenting on this particular scenario, I can say that certain requirements must be met for parents to transmit U.S. citizenship to their children. And I would point you to our website and look at the INA requirements for what is required in that case.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You just heard a State Department spokesperson. Now, finally, after a lot of pressure, including pressure from us, acknowledge that the husband of Miriam Ibrahim is, in fact, an American citizen. That's important. Now, the Section 301 of the code says the children are citizens unless we don't view the marriage as valid. I mean, that's basically the way it is. And we, of course, in the United States, don't have the apostasy charges that exist in the Sudan. So the situation is this. You've now got the State Department fan requesting DNA evidence of the child. And remember, the father said he was trying to get asylum for his wife and his son before, and the State Department was very, very slow in moving that forward.
Yeah, that's right. I was in meetings in the Senate on this morning, and here's where we're at, Jay. The Immigration and Nationality Act requires that those children be granted citizenship because Daniel is a U.S. citizen.
Right.
It does not matter that Miriam is not. Daniel's citizenship bestows to them because they were married at the time of birth. Jay, the only reason that the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security could deviate from that is if they are going to buy Sudan's invalidation of this marriage. Remember,
Let me say something about that.
Yep.
Because that's what I just said. This invalidation of the marriage not being valid, is based on Sharia law, the Islamic law, that when a person that is Muslim, and they believe that Miriam Ibrahim is a Muslim because her father was Muslim purportedly. She was raised by a Christian mother, never saw a father after age 5. They're saying that in and of itself creates apostasy, and the marriage is not valid because she, Miriam Ibrahim, married Daniel, who is in fact a recognized Christian under their legal system. So to them, that's not a valid marriage.
Yeah, that's correct. And I would just say it makes us complicit in it,
yep.
Jay. I mean, if we are going to buy Sudan's interpretation of that, it makes the United States government complicit in it. I am told senators this morning, it is up to the United States Senate to hold our State Department and hold the Department of Homeland Security accountable for what they're doing. I think we're going to see that this week.
Well, we hope so, and we're working on it, folks. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and that's 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk about this issue now with the State Department movement. At least we're getting movement on Miriam Ibrahim's case. We're also going to talk about the soldier swap that took place for the sergeant and get some of your opinions on that. We're taking your phone calls again at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, remember I said I hoped that by yesterday we'd be at 330,000 signatures online? 332,128. Now marching towards 350,000 signatures. Go to BeHeardProject.com or call us at 1-877-989-2255. We now have to put pressure on our State Department as well as Sudan. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition.
The situation facing Miriam Ebrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we had a little bit of an unusual situation develop on the Miriam Ebrahim case. The State Department finally has acknowledged that he, Daniel, the husband, is a U.S. citizen, which makes those children U.S. citizens. But the State Department's not saying that. Remember, those two kids are in prison with their mother. I want you to think about this, folks. A Christian woman, medical doctor, 27-year-old Christian in Sudan, facing the death sentence, 100 lashes and to be hung. And her two kids are in the prison with her. And now State Department now acknowledges that Mr. Wawani, Daniel, is a U.S. citizen, which under the law makes his kids U.S. citizens. And what's so interesting here, unless they don't view the marriage as valid. Well, that would only be if the United States decided to recognize Islamic Sharia law on this, which I can't imagine even the State Department would do. But let me tell you how the nature of the argument here and the kind of the reporting that's going on. Again, I want to play this as a bite from the CNS reporter, Cyber News Service or Conservative News Service, and State Department number 5.
In the British press, Mr. Wani was quoted as saying that the State Department had asked for DNA testing of the children. Is that correct?
Well, there are certain requirements that have long been the case, and they're available on the INA website.
I just want to jump in there. So let's understand this. The two kids are in a prison in Sudan. And so you're not going to get a live swab DNA test. There are other types of DNA tests I guess you could get. But how are you going to establish the chain of custody? Sometimes it's called use common sense. This is an American citizen's kids in a prison with their mother. Give them the right to come to the United States. Join us in this fight for her. It's very important you do so. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or just call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Than, with this latest thing, we'll get to phone calls in just a moment. With this latest move here, what is your sense on what's going to happen on the Hill?
Well, I will just tell people this. Your voice is being heard on the Hill. I heard from literally a half a dozen new senators today who are engaging on this. It is in a bipartisan fashion. And the thing that we are having to help them understand, folks, is that the DNA requirement the state is talking about, that only matters if you're talking about an unmarried couple.
Right.
If you're talking about a married couple where the father is a U.S. citizen and here in the United States, it does not matter. The citizenship automatically portrays. So right now, I would tell you, Jay, what we're dealing with on the Hill is a lot of different people at different levels of education on this. So we're bringing everyone up to speed.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that when the Hill speaks, they speak with one voice on behalf of this family. It's coming, I assure people, but there's an education battle to climb
here. Yeah, well, let's – I want to – our audience gets this. I'm going to play. Let me play bite number six here. I want you to listen to the questioning between the reporter and, again, the State Department. Listen very carefully what's being said here.
The State Department is contesting that these two children are Mr. Wani's children.
We're not contesting anything. We have standard requirements.
You're forcing him to prove it with DNA.
We have standard requirements.
Do you know if you have made an effort with the Sudanese to get the kind of genetic information that you would need from the infant and child?
I don't have any other details I can share on that.
Has the father offered to provide the genetic, whatever it is that you would need to make the determination?
All I'm going to say is we don't have the information needed in this.
Does that mean that information has been provided and it proved negative, or does that mean that you just don't have it?
I don't have any other details I can share.
All right, folks, here's what it tells me. If we keep this pressure up, we're going to get our State Department to finally do the right thing here, and at the same time, I believe we will also get the Sudanese to let her go. But we've got to keep the pressure up. Go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com and sign on to that petition right now. BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I want you to be thinking about those two kids, what the father's going through, of course, Miriam as well, and what our State Department's doing here. Let's stand with them. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go right to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Terry calling from Utah on line two. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Driving into work, I just listening to you, absolutely sick to my stomach. Setting aside, you know, DNA testing, doesn't the United States, don't we fight for human rights? I mean, the human rights here, the civil rights, the absolute inability of these children to be cared for.
Well, I mean, I was saying that earlier. I mean, the idea that, I mean, if you were trying to get DNA swab testing, I mean, how are you going to do that in a Sudanese prison? I mean, sometimes you just use common sense here. Plus, as Than pointed out, and Than's correct, this is not a requirement of, this is a complete misread by State Department legal offices, if that's who's done this, as to what the law actually requires, okay? The law doesn't require this. And believe me, I've been in those meetings at the State Department on very high-level cases where they've asked our client or the client's family to do something, putting them and their family at risk. They do it, and then when you read the law, when I find out about it after the fact, and I go to the State Department and say, they didn't have to do that. And it's not like, by the way, you're living in, you know, Alexandria, Virginia, and you're going to drive into Washington, D.C. and meet with somebody in INS. This is a prison in Sudan. And it's a Christian woman, and the Sudanese are saying she's not stable. They're coming back with, all kinds of issues that are completely unrelated to the facts of this case. And the reality is we need to be able to put the pressure on the Sudan government, as, by the way, the U.K., has come out very strongly. Why can't we issue a statement? Do we have the statement from the United Kingdom? We had it yesterday. I'm going to get it. So the United Kingdom comes out with this very strong statement. You got David Cameron, the Prime Minister, you know, letting the Sudanese through their embassies know that this is not tolerated, not accepted. Why can't we issue a statement like this?
Well, as soon as we heard that this appalling sentence, I issued a statement calling for two things. Firstly, demanding the immediate release of Meriam on human rights grounds, and secondly, confirming that in our view this sentence was barbaric. Since then, we've called the Sudanese chargé d'affaires into the Foreign Office in London to explain to him the importance of the Sudanese government putting pressure on the Sudanese courts to release Meriam. We have also put pressure from our mission in Khartoum on the Sudanese government.
Why aren't we doing this? I mean, I'm thrilled the British are doing it. But why, this is a U.S. citizen and two U.S. citizen kids. Why are we not doing this? Mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. Back to the phones we go at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, you want to talk about leading from behind. There is no British citizen here, but there are American citizens. Let's go to Mark.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
You're right. The United States should be the one taking the lead on this. Fortunately, at least for Miriam's family, at least the British are willing to step up to the plate here. But you're absolutely correct. The reality is, and this is to me what really, really has me concerned, is that we do not have a situation where our government's willing to make the statement that the British made. Now, you that are listening to this broadcast right now can force that to happen. You can make that happen. We've got to get that petition up to about 400,000. We're about 70,000 away. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. Speak out on this. It's critical. Back to the phones.
Let's go to Margaret calling from California on line three. Margaret, you're on the air.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
One of the things that really troubles me with our nation is, and other nations around the world, is the fact that Sharia law is creeping up on all of us and the fact that our government is in agreement.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if they're in agreement or not, but the law that they're talking about doesn't apply in this situation unless they want to recognize what the Sudanese are using, by the way, as a fake argument, which is what it is. It's not a real the Sudanese have no legal argument here. She was not raised by a, you know, born, she wasn't born Muslim. Her father abandoned the family at, I think she was age 4 or 6, raised by an Orthodox Christian mother. First of all, the Sudanese have signed on to all the international treaties on international human rights and religious freedom. So this shouldn't be an issue anyways. So she shouldn't be being put to death because she's a Christian. And there is not an excuse that we have in the United States to not try again to get this citizen back. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Obviously, it's a huge issue with big ramifications. So if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, I'm approaching 930,000 signatures on Facebook, folks. My Facebook page could hit 1 million within the next 30 days. That'll give us about 1,700,000 between mine and the ACLJ's. We're marching towards 2 million. We want you to become part of that. Like us on Facebook. You got mine, Jordan's, and the ACLJ's. Like it, share it, get the information out. Great way for us to engage with you. Same thing with Twitter. Twitter.com/JordanSecular. Get constant updates as to what's going on around the globe. Everybody that's listening to me, if you have not signed this petition for Miriam Ebrahim, with all this moving parts that we've discussed today, this is the day to do it. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, which deals with the persecuted church. We've got the petition up there. So either place, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, or pick up your phones right now. We need to hear from everybody. Last couple of days to sign on to this petition. 1-877-989-2255. This is the day to do it. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. And again, like us, share us on Facebook. Back with more in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The situation facing Miriam Ebrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone. By the way, Senator Inhofe has asked Secretary Kerry to explore granting detained Christian Sudanese woman Miriam Ebrahim and her entire family political asylum. I think that needs to be done and put in gear immediately. That is some pressure that's starting to come on these governments. We're taking your phone calls on this situation at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Than, let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Justine. She's calling on line 4 from New York. Justine, you're on the air.
Hi, Justine.
Hi, long-time listener. Thank you so much,
right.
all of you. I'm just going to give you a short piece of, I think, James says, he says, I believe it's James, studying to show ourselves approved. Now, we have to study this, and you've helped us so greatly. And I've
Justine, we've completely, you've gone completely, either you took your mouth away from the phone there. Try it again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
All right, so studying to show ourselves approved. That's what you have helped us do. I am right near the library where I will go online and sign.
Well, I appreciate that.
As well as the prisoner exchange, which I'm totally outraged about. But it's not the topic. I've been crying about Miriam Ebrahim, and she's raised up in prayer. And
well, listen, the prayers mean a lot, and talking to your church is great. And when you go to the internet there, into your library, sharing around the information around to your friends on if you have on social media, that's really important on this. I mean, to get this out on social media is critically important. We are right now, I want to get to 400,000 signatures. We're 332,355. So we're about 68,000 or so short from where I'd like the goal to be. We're moving up there, though, folks. So, again, go to BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Our phone lines are jammed, folks. We're here for another half hour. Remember, we get the full hour on SiriusXM, a number of stations. But also, if you don't get the hour, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it live. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Then let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, we're going to go to Susan calling from California on line 2. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. God bless you all. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point out, last week I did notice that I had not been able to see it on TV, but ABC, certain channel had portrayed this whole issue as the Miriam was raised as a Muslim.
Yeah.
And so they did not even acknowledge what I see very shocking and very something we need to counter, and thank God you guys are helping us with this, is that the American, you know, would they're taking the Obama view that we want to respect these people, and so they're treating it as she's Muslim.
Because they're following what they're doing, Susan, is because that is the line that the Sudanese have put forward. The government of Sudan has said because she is a Muslim, even though she's not. She's a Christian, professing Christian, was raised by a Christian mother, father that was Muslim, abandoned them when she was 6 years old. But that's the line of the Sudanese. That is not a line. I didn't want to cut you off there. I'll let you finish. That's not a line we should be repeating in the United States. That's just not the way it is. Go ahead and finish up what you're going to say.
Yes. In the U.S., we have to promote our view of it, which is the religion
right.
that you pick is your religion.
And that's
and
international law, too. That's also international law. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're kowtowing to the Muslim view of that, which is not right. We have to stand for our rights and our ways of seeing things in the U.S. and say this is a Christian woman and she has a right to marry a Christian man and she must be released. She's an American citizen, just as they have done.
You're absolutely, Suzanne, correct. Than, you talked about this earlier. It's as if the State Department is taking the Sharia law application of marriage and applying it to a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, that's right. Susan is spot on, as was Margaret earlier in the show. I want the State Department at today's press conference to be asked the question, how does the United States view this marriage? I don't want to hear how Sudan views
right.
it. I want to know if the United States views this marriage as valid or if they they accept Sudan's interpretation of Sharia law that the marriage is invalidated because it was not a marriage to a Muslim. Because, Jay,
that which is what they're saying, right.
Right. But if the United States views the marriage as valid, it doesn't matter what Sudan thinks. Those kids are citizens.
All right, folks, we're going to be here for another half hour again on SiriusXM. You get the full hour. Others can get it as well just by going to ACLJ.org. Call us if you want to talk to us on air on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. By the way, I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast this afternoon discussing a number of issues. Was with him on TV earlier yesterday evening. So a lot going on here at the ACLJ, but we're full force on Miriam Ibrahim's case. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, let's try to get one more call in before the break.
Yeah, let's go to John calling from Washington on line 3. John, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
Thank you for taking my call. Listening to that State Department bureaucrat mouthpiece sit there and say that, well, we have to have DNA testing to verify the veracity of these children if they're in fact biological. How come in the United States of America you don't need a DNA test if you're the
right.
father in
You're absolutely correct. Why? Because they're buying like this whole line from the Sudanese. Let me play. This is soundbite number 6.
The State Department is contesting that these two children are Mr. Wani's children.
We're not contesting anything. We have standard requirements.
You're forcing him to prove it with DNA.
We have standard requirements.
Do you know if you have made an effort with the Sudanese to get the kind of genetic information that you would need from the infant and child?
I don't have any other details I can share on that.
Has the father offered to provide the genetic, whatever it is that you would need to make the determination?
All I'm going to say is we don't have the information needed in this.
Does that mean that information has been provided and it proved negative, or does that mean that you just don't have it?
I don't have any other details I can share.
There you have it. I mean, and John, you see, so that, go ahead and finish your comment, but that's the real problem.
Jay? You need to take that and hang that around their neck about the fact that we have to pay child support on children even though we're not the biological father here in the United States. Hang that around their neck.
Well, what we're doing is showing the hypocrisy of the procedure that they're doing, that they put in place. We are showing that the Sudanese government has a definition of marriage, and that seems to be the State Department may be trying to follow it, which is also absolutely absurd. And we play these sound bites for you because we want you to hear the evidence. We like to point to the evidence of what we're actually dealing with. So let me encourage you here right now, folks. This is really important. We want to take more of your calls. We're here for another half hour again. SiriusXM, you get the full hour of the broadcast. Call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. That's number one. Number two. This is critical. We've got to speak out for Miriam. Now, Than, quickly here, what are we going to – we're going to start presenting these petitions to our members of Congress, the White House, to the Sudanese government. How critical – I want to get to 400,000.
The support that we've gotten so far, Jay, is the only reason that this story is still alive. The State Department would have been able to bury it. If we don't continue to speak out, it is going to stall where it's at. It is the support that is behind it right now that is carrying the momentum forward.
All right, folks, here's what I need everybody that's listening to this broadcast to do. I need everybody that has not signed this. If you're one of the 330,000 that have signed it, thank you. If you haven't, and there's a lot more than 330,000 of you listening to this broadcast right now, you go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, either place, and sign that petition for Miriam and her kids. Or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. So we want direct action here. 877-989-2255. That's an easy way to do it. Or the easiest way, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. So it's BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I need everybody that's listening to go to your phones right now, 877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com. Make that call, go to the website, and share this information on Facebook.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Talking about freedom. Talking podcast, everyone. We're talking about the situation with Miriam Ebrahim and apparently our State Department not wanting to recognize her marriage either. At least that's what it sounds like. Acknowledging that Daniel Wani, the husband, if he is the husband, according to the State Department, is in fact a U.S. citizen, which would mean the children are U.S. citizens. But aha, we want DNA tests and specific types of DNA tests. So what do they think? They're going to get doctors to go into a Sudanese prison and do medical swabs on the kids? So they here's what happens. They say, yes, we'll let doctors in, and they do medical swabs on two other people. How do we know who they are at that point? This is one of those situations where you just do the right thing, and the right thing is getting Miriam Ebrahim and her family out of that jail back home in the United States. Same thing with Saeed Abedini. It's exactly the same kind of scenario. Don't put roadblocks in the way for freedom here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I also promise we talk a little bit about the prisoner swap. We've got a question on that.
Yeah, we're going to start on line 5. It's Luke from Florida. It's been holding a while. Luke, you are on the air.
Hi, Luke.
Hey, good afternoon, counselors. Thank you for taking my
call.
I am livid about this prisoner exchange.
Yeah.
They exchanged 5 Muslims for 1 Muslim, and he is a Muslim. And he's
I don't know that. But I do know they did swap one of our guys for 5 of theirs, and an American's coming home. I don't want to get into whether what he is or isn't, because I don't know this. We don't know the conditions, Luke, of what the transfer was. However, having said that, I will tell you this. The President of the United States had an obligation to notify Congress and certify to Congress that these people being released were not going to be placed in a situation where they can harm the United States. And the President signs a signing statement to get away from that. And you can't do that. The law is the law. I don't want to get it. You know, I'm always glad an American's getting home, even if I don't know the circumstances here. And there may be a lot more coming out on this. We'll see. So I understand your concern, Luke, and I'm going to let you finish here. I'm looking at the law here, and the law said the president had to do something he did not do. Go ahead.
I'll grant you that, sir. But what he has just done is he had made open season on all Americans abroad. They capture an American, they're going to exchange him.
You know, the Israelis do it. I mean, the Israelis do these exchanges, but generally you know what the Israelis do. If they do the exchange, then they track the people they've let go down. It's a much smaller country. It's a much different thing. I understand. I didn't serve in the military, so I don't want to weigh into something there. Is in that context. But Dan's pointing out, but that's exactly why when you're doing a release, and you're right, Luke, you're doing a release like this of targets like this that have been captured in Guantanamo Bay and Gitmo, that's why you notify and certify to Congress. And Dan, that's what did not happen here.
Yeah, that's the whole reason that this 30-day notification exists. The president has the power to make exchanges like this, but he's required to notify other people in a separate branch of government that have security clearances so that they have multiple opinions. Jay, one of the things that Congress is supposed to look at is, will these guys go back onto the battlefield? And almost every expert that I have heard that looks at these 5 guys, they're going back to the battlefield, and our Congress was not notified.
I think it's like 18% return to the battlefield, and these were leaders. It's like having the cabinet returned. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Taking your calls from around the country. Who do we have next?
Yeah, we're going to William from Georgia on line 6. William, you're on the air.
Hi, William.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Dan. How you guys doing?
Good.
This is my biggest concern. You know, it's a sad day in America when you got the U.S. State Department that have to be pressured in order to do something that's justifiably right in a way. I mean, you got a baby that was born in the bars of a prison.
Right.
I mean, how absurd is that? As far as I'm concerned, they're just as guilty as the ones that are keeping them in prison.
Well, they certainly are complacent and complicit maybe with it. Let me tell you what Daniel Wani said about his child having to be born in a prison, number 7.
She was supposed to give birth outside the prison in a hospital, but the judge refused our request. I was afraid of complications during the birth, but thanks to the mercy of the Lord, she is now safe.
So the baby was born safely, but is in a prison. And folks, as we go to a break, I want you to realize that these kids are in a prison. They're U.S. citizens. Get them out. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, or you can sign that petition at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Also, we're taking your phone calls, folks. So if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with your calls in a moment. Call us at 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign that petition. It would be a lie to run away.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
By the way, we've now exceeded 332,562 signatures on that petition for Miriam Ibrahim in about a week, which is really great, folks. We want to get that up to 400. Than's going to take that on Capitol Hill, start working. We're already letting people know for her release and for her children's release and get the husband here in the United States, who is a U.S. citizen. You can sign it at aclj.org or at beheardproject.com. Check out that beheardproject.com website. That's B-E-H-E-A-R-D project. .com. I think you'll find it very interesting. Or you can call us at 877-989-2255 and sign the petition there. If you want to talk to us on air, really easy to do, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back to the phones, Stan.
Yeah, back to the phones. We're going to start with Raj calling from Virginia on line one. Raj, you're on the air.
Hi, Raj.
Praise the Lord for all that you're doing. As we pray and lift up these people,
yeah,
we are not silent.
Right.
But it pains my heart that our churches, our church leaders, leaders of denominational organizations, they have not raised their voice. And so it's my plea to all those who are listening to this broadcast. They would, in their churches, the people in the pew, the people in the choir, the people, yes, we've got to preach to the pulpits.
Because well, Raj, I appreciate you saying that, and that's why I want to encourage people on social media to get this information out to your churches. This Be Heard Project, we've got some video up now. It could be shown in churches. It's there to be downloaded. That video can be downloaded right from our website, right? Well, if not, we'll make sure it is. You could show it at the churches. This lets people know what's going on here. But I think you're right. We need to get the churches activated. And it's also a shorter time frame. I mean, the Sudanese try to throw everybody off this weekend by this, you know, we may release her. Then they're saying they're not going to release her. The reality is, until she's out, like her lawyers say, until they're out and she's out, we cannot rest. And we're going to keep bringing this issue up. Having said that, we're trying to get to 400,000 signatures by the end of June, certainly. But we are starting to work on it, Than, right now. I mean, we need to let people know that right now you're talking with members on Capitol Hill. You're going to meetings. You're engaging this issue. Our team's engaging this issue at the UN, or really around the globe.
Right. The public outcry on this really is the catalyst for the reason of so many senators already being involved. I would just specifically point to Senator Kelly Ayotte, who actually represents New Hampshire, which is where Daniel lives. She has been front and center on this. A number of others, and we will continue to give you those developments through the course of this week. But, Jay, I would just say to Raj's point, I mean, the churches and us as believers, we have a biblical mandate to defend the widows and the fatherless. And, you know, she's not a widow, but her husband is not there. And the children certainly do not have their father there. So I would say this is in the core of a biblical mandate that churches have to activate. And if they do that, Jay, it really amplifies our voice here in Washington, D.C.
It sure does.
and internationally.
It sure does. And you can do that by going to BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. So either place, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. We're taking your phone calls, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Dina calling from Virginia on line 4. Dina, you're on the air.
Hi, Dina.
Yeah, hi, guys. God bless you for what you're doing. I'm a Christian woman. I grew up in the Middle East, and I'm very familiar with Sharia laws.
Yep.
And I know from my experience, I've been in the States for 20 over years. Yep. I know, just growing up in the Middle East, that there's really, it's very difficult to fight Sharia law. And
will you explain to everybody, since you grew up there, and this is, I'm thrilled you called, Dina, explain to everybody how you view what Sharia law, I mean, I always say it's, you know, Islamic law imposed on the civil society. How do you describe it as someone who lived there?
I mean, I grew up as a Christian, and I lived there. We lived as a minority, 3%. In fact, I grew up in Iraq.
Right.
And I'm from Armenian descent. Yeah. And the percentage of Christians is next to nothing, next to none. It's like about 2-3% of the population. So, yes, I mean, you have to be very careful. I've known of families that have converted to Christianity that they had to flee immediately because the punishment is death. Yeah. I mean, we've known this, you know, all our lives. Any conversion from Christianity or any other religion, I don't speak for Judaism because there aren't a whole lot of Jews left in the Middle Eastern countries. But it is, the punishment is death, and that's a known fact.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's, why wouldn't this test be administered at the U.S. Embassy in Khartoum?
Because they don't have access to the children. How about that one? The U.S. embassies do not have access to the kids. And by the way, the Sudanese, Stan's pointing this out, the Sudanese do not dispute that these are Daniel's kids. Only the United States is raising these questions. So you're right. I mean, Dina, the fact of the matter is, this is, like I said, it's not going from, you're in Fairfax, Virginia. It's not like going from Fairfax, you know, into the District of Columbia. So it takes 30 minutes by car. This is, you know, Sudan. And the kids are in the prison. So it's a whole different ballgame. And I'm hopeful that we see some progress on the Hill on this as pressure starts to mount. But also, keeping this in the news is a very, I want to be honest, it's not an easy task to keep this in the news, because the Sudanese this weekend tried a move to silence the opposition by sending out the what I call the fake announcement of her impending release, which we did not take for real. And we thought, as we said, we quoted the lawyers, I will believe it when I see it. But that did not happen. But, Dina, this is, you know, in Sharia, as you know, the ends can justify the means. And that's the reality of what we're dealing with. But I appreciate you calling in. And I appreciate your prayers for Miriam Ibrahim and Saeed Abedini and others in the Middle East or Northern Africa that are suffering because of their faith. We know it's, look, it's a huge issue for us. We're embarking on a major effort in establishing a center at Oxford University, dealing with the persecuted religious minorities of the Middle East. And I'm going there, and we're having a whole program, and we're going to develop this into something that's going to be a center for this kind of issue through our auspices of the ACLJ, ECLJ, our other offices, and then an Oxford Center for Law and Public Policy. So something we're very encouraged about and excited about, but we're in that formative stages. So your prayers for us, Dina, would really make a difference, because we're really trying to plan what to do. And we're going to bring in experts like people like you that lived in that world and experienced what Sharia law was like as a Christian in a predominantly Muslim country. All right, we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, what is the next move here? I mean, what do we think happens next?
There are a couple of pieces of legislation that are drafted and are ready to go. What is happening right now, Jay, is I am actually trying to pull together all of the senators and congressmen who are working on this issue and get them to agree on the legislative path forward, because we've talked about this before, but the fastest approach here would be if the president's hand and the State Department's hand does not have to be forced by legislation. So what's key here is all of the Hill speaking in one voice, trying to get that to happen. But if it doesn't happen, Jay, they are going to introduce that legislation, whether it's for asylum or some other type of parole, and they are going to try to force the president's hand on this. And what it really does is it raises the political level of this from, you know, just a low-level State Department person directly to the president of the United States.
All right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Who's next?
We're going to Travis calling from North Carolina on line 2. Travis, you're on the air.
Hi, Travis.
Hi, thank you for letting me on.
Sure.
My question is, do we know where the United Arab Emirates stands on this issue with Miriam? Just because I know that they have a history of financial ties with Sudan. I think they're actually the highest.
Yeah, they do have business relationships with Sudan. No, as far as we know, no statement has been made by any of the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation countries regarding the situation with Miriam Ibrahim. We're checking on that because it's a good question. That would be great if you get one of those countries speaking out on this. But so far, in fact, that has not – we haven't seen that. We're checking that. And our offices that deal with the UN will be doing the very same thing as well. I want you to keep in mind also, and Travis, I really appreciate your call, that the nature of this is being complicated because of the U.S. position here. I mean, you heard – I played on the first half of the broadcast the statement from the British, from the U.K., but we're not making those kind of statements. We're hedging. We're buying the line of, as if we don't want to offend the Sudanese. I mean, that's what it sounds like. We're afraid to, you know, offend Sudan. Now, we don't want the situation to be made worse for Miriam Ibrahim, but the situation is really bad, and her kids are in that prison. By the way, coming up on the next segment of the broadcast, I'm on the air with Sean Hannity. We're going to be discussing the legalities of the prison swap, not so much whether we should have gotten the sergeant and the five people that were released, but was it legal the way the president did it? Not notifying Congress, not certifying. Was that legal? We're going to talk about that coming up with Sean Hannity. Not going to want to miss that. Also, let me encourage you folks, if you haven't, start checking out the BeHeardProject.com website. It's a site we've developed for the persecuted church. It has the main cases we're following or engaged in. Of course, there are countless thousands of others. These people are really representatives of the persecuted church. So I encourage you to do that. Pray for Saeed Abedini and Nagme and their family. It's a very tough time right now as we're working through a lot of issues. I encourage you to be in prayer for them, and certainly don't stop praying for Miriam Ibrahim and her family and the unbelievable situation with those two kids in the prison. So go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. You can sign on to that petition there, or you can do so at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. And also, share us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, get this information out on social media, follow us on Twitter. I've got a Twitter feed, Jordan does as well, so does the ACLJ, and we've got a Facebook for me, for Jordan, and for the ACLJ as well. I encourage you to check that all out, and again, sign that petition at BeHeardProject.com. Back with more, including Sean Hannity, in just a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, I am going to take a bit of change of direction here for just a moment. I'm going to play for you an interview that Jay did on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast last night about this situation involving Sergeant Bo Bergdahl and the exchange of him for five avowed terrorist folks. And Jay was on with Sean last night talking about the legality of this trade. And I just wanted to sort of set the stage for this interview by saying a couple of things. First of all, I know a lot of you have seen the interviews that the guys from Sergeant Bergdahl's unit are giving that are calling him things as serious as a deserter. And folks, I just want to remind you, Sergeant Bergdahl is innocent until proven guilty. And no matter what the circumstances were regarding his departure from his unit, I think it is a good thing that he is home. We do not leave our soldiers behind in the field. We do not leave a man behind. That portion of it is a good thing, period, end of story. Now, I will say there are consequences that come out of a circumstance that we're talking about here. Number one, don't forget, six people gave their lives searching for Sergeant Bergdahl. So whatever the circumstances were of his departure, there were very serious consequences. Also, you're going to hear Jay talk about this in this interview. It is still fair to criticize the president for violating the law here, folks. There was a 30-day notification of Congress requirement for any releasing of detainees from Guantanamo. That simply was not met, and you're going to hear more about that from Jay in just a moment. Also, folks, it is a separate deal to talk about the five detainees that we gave up. They were five of the most dangerous, committed terrorists in the world. That is why Congress was required to be notified so there could be a dialogue on whether or not sending those avowed terrorists back into the field was a good idea. Folks, I just fear there is a high probability that the American body count of such a decision could be very high. I pray that is wrong. I, of course, do not know the circumstances in which that could play out, but it is a very high risk. That is why Congress, by law, was required to be notified. That notification did not happen. I'm going to play for you this interview now. This is Jay with Sean Hannity unpacking some of the details of this requirement that simply did not take place. Let's take a listen.
And welcome back to Hannity yet again tonight. Barack Obama has shown that he believes he is above the law, as there are serious questions now being raised about whether or not the Bergdahl prison exchange was even legal. Now, here's why. The law requires the White House to notify Congress at least 30 days prior to making any transfers from Guantanamo Bay. And an unnamed senior government official spoke to the Washington Post and admitted that the law was not followed, saying, quote, the administration determined that given the unique and exigent circumstances, such a transfer would go forward notwithstanding the notice requirement. So is the law broken in this prisoner swap? Here with reaction from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, and Fox News contributor Leslie Marshall. Jay, it's a simple, basic question. The law reads simply to me, they broke the law. Again, something they've done with regularity, and you and I have discussed in detail. Was the law obeyed or not?
Right. And they did not follow the law. And the law is clear that you give 30 days notice from the Secretary of Defense to the various committees of Congress that would be relevant to a decision like this. And it's simply notice and certification that the people being released will not be placed in a situation where they can do harm to the United States. By the way, the law was even more stringent under previous administrations. It was loosened up a little bit in the Defense Authorization Act that came out last year. But the fact of the matter is, the law is very clear. It was, regardless of what your views are on whether this exchange, and it's hard to argue with an American being released and being able to come home. But the reality is, the law required a 30-day notification. You know that these discussions were going on for more than 30 days. All they had to do was notify and certify to Congress, and that would have solved this problem. But again, the president chose to ignore the law.
But they've done this on the health care law. They've done this with welfare. Yep. They've done this on a whole variety of issues. Even Jonathan Turley says we're at a constitutional tipping point. As I look at this, Leslie, let's play Jay Carney. He said repeatedly that, in fact, they would go to Congress if there was any such deal. Here's what he said.
As we have long said, however, we would not make any decisions about transfer of any detainees without consulting with Congress and without doing so in accordance with U.S. law. At this time, we've made no decisions about the transfer of detainees, and in accordance with law, we would be consulting with Congress should we make any decisions about that. So we remain committed to the closure of Guantanamo Bay, as you know, but separate from that, on these specific issues about individual detainees, that would be a process that is done in accordance with law.
Leslie, I assume you're a law and order person. They spelled it out very clearly right there. So they violated what they said was their own interpretation of the law.
Well, first of all, you have the president signing statement. Second of all, I concur not only with the U.S. Constitution in Article 2, but with our own Defense Secretary Hagel, who says that the president has constitutionally the authority. And in addition to this,
Did you just hear Jay Carney say that in accordance with the law, we would be consulting Congress if we make any decisions about this? His words, not mine. They said they promised it repeatedly. That was their interpretation. Now you're going to spin a new interpretation?
How do we have letters? How do we have conversations? How do we have congressional members in both the House and the Senate on the record, such as Duncan, such as Crapo, such as Hunter?
Leslie, you're very good at dodging.
And we even have journalists reporting on this since last May.
In accordance with the law, we would be consulting with Congress should we make any decisions on this. What part of that did they not listen to? Their own interpretation. Jay, you're an attorney.
Well, I mean, here's the problem, Leslie, with your argument, and with due respect, again, not getting into the merits of the transfer here, but the legality of it. The president cannot decide that a law is unconstitutional by issuing a signing statement where he determines that the notice requirement was a violation of Article 2 of the United States Constitution. He doesn't get to do that. He's not a king. He's a president. And that's number one. Number two, the administration's own position, as Sean just played on the program, the position of the administration was that the notification and certification requirements on prisoner exchanges had to take place because that is what the law is, and that the president wants to make this kind of exception to it. He doesn't get to do it that way. And here's the thing that, Sean, this is what I don't understand. You know they were working on this for more than 30 days. It didn't have to be public. It just had to go to the committee leadership.
Well, you know how we know.
Why didn't they just do that and follow through?
Well, we got some of the details.
Right.
The Taliban, at one point in the negotiations that they claim weren't negotiations, actually walked away from the table because they had specifically requested these five people and eventually got it.
Right.
Was this a negotiation, Leslie, or do you spin this as well, saying, no, this wasn't a negotiation?
Well, first of all, Sean, I know a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but I feel that if we're going to get an American home, whether it's one or numerous Americans, I've always been in favor of negotiating with whoever we need to negotiate with.
Was this a negotiation with terrorists or not? Of course it was.
I don't think it was necessarily a negotiation with terrorists. I think it was a negotiation, obviously.
And do you agree with Jay Carney when he said that they represent no threat to the United States?
Not to leave an American behind. We are not to leave our Americans behind.
You know,
we don't send our men and women in service overseas to leave them behind.
Protect Obama at all costs.
Sure.
Baghdad Bob did a great job lying again tonight.
This is about protecting the American men and women that we send
overseas.
The president
knows that he's not going to be held responsible. At the end of the day, he's not going to be held responsible.
And I'm sure somebody will try to impeach him.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe he should be. Jonathan Turley thinks we're at a constitutional tipping point. Hardly a member of my vast right-wing conspiracy. Guys, good to see you.
Jonathan Turley's right.
Again, folks, that was Jay on Sean Hannity's broadcast talking about the prisoner swap. We will keep you posted on that issue. But as we close the broadcast today, if you have not yet taken a stand for Miriam Ibrahim and called on the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security to bring her home with her children to her husband, I need you to do so now at 877-989-2255. Or at BeHeardProject.com. Again, the number 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.